argument this morning is 17-1695 Shell Oil Company v. United States. Mr. White.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. The Court of Federal Claims decision in this case on remand should be reversed for three main reasons. First, the Court failed to allocate the waste at the McCall site between the waste that was produced as a result of avgas production from the waste that was produced.
Are you challenging the use of the three-part test from Indiana Michigan Power?
Excuse me,
that's the Court of Federal Claims use.
We're challenging their interpretation of the taxes clause itself. This is okay. A different...
But you're not challenging the use of the test.
No. No, okay. We're not challenging the use of a test for how you determine damages in the event of a breach. What we're arguing here is that the taxes clause itself cannot be interpreted in a way that results in the government's being responsible for not only the waste generated as a result of avgas production, but also the waste that was generated through production of all the commercial products.
It seems like there are two types of non-avgas contract-related dumpings that could be at issue. Dumping related to waste created while making avgas for non-government contracts, and dumping related to waste created while making petroleum products or other non-avgas products from the spent alkylation acid, which was used initially to make the avgas for the government contracts. Would you agree that that second type, the products made from the residual from government contracts, would still fall under the government's responsibility for cleanup?
No, and that's our primary contention in this case, Your Honor, is that the language of the taxes clause, which says charges that the oil companies are required to pay by reason of the manufacture, production, sale of the commodities delivered under the contracts is very, very specific, and it doesn't permit this attenuation of the spent alkylation acid in its use in producing other refinery products to bring those other waste under the umbrella of the avgas contract.
Where does you say in the reply brief on page 6 that the Court of Federal Claims found the government agreed, I'm quoting, government agreed to absorb all charges for everything that plants sold, even though avgas represented a small fraction of the total refining process. Where did the Court of Federal Claims say avgas was a small fraction of the process? Here's my core concern about the whole government's whole approach to this. A lot of what you're saying is, well, the war started December 8th, 1941, backdated to December 7th when Congress declared war. And prior to that, there wasn't a war. So there wasn't when production of avgas and the use of the acid didn't fall within the ambit of what we're talking about. I think that's a fair summary of what you're saying, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
But there's a lack of historical context there. You've heard the phrase "great arsenal of democracy." The whole Roosevelt's approach from 1940 on, lend-lease, production of avgas was in large part about two things. One, the British were trying to defend their isles, and it gave them an advantage in their fighter defense. And two, we're getting ready to go to war, and the United States has imposed a peacetime draft, is massively ramping up production a fighter plane? All the, that's a historical fact. It's all going on.
Yes, Your Honor, but this is contract law. These were sophisticated parties that made contracts with the government for the sale of Avgas. There was recognition in these contracts that other products were going to be made and sold at a profit by these oil companies.
Yeah.
And the very fact that the contract referred to those other products, but yet in the taxes clause has no language that would sweep into the charges that the government's responsible for, the waste that is created through the production of those other products, means that it's an unfair and unreasonable interpretation of this contract to hold that the government had agreed to do that, despite the historical context.
Tell me if you know. I it's not in the record, and I couldn't. I scrutinized. One of the things Shell says is there were specialized train cars for transportation of the spent acid for reprocessing, and they wanted to do that, and the government refused to provide those specialized cars. Were those being taken for a war purpose, like the Manhattan Project?
That I don't know the answer to, Your Honor. I do know that in the CERCLA litigation in district court and also in the Court of Federal Claims decision, there was a recognition of that as being a reason why some of the spent alkylation acid was dumped. But what we're concerned about in this case is not the dumping of the spent alkylation acid. It's the dumping of the acid sludge that was produced when the spent alkylation acid was used to acid treat the other refinery products, such as motor oil and kerosene and all the other products that were being made and sold by.
But that was in the government's interest for two reasons. One, because it was a by-process, I'm not going to say by-product, but by-process of the production of Avgas, and everybody knew it. And two, the government had an interest in all those other products being provided to the public.
The government did have an interest in that, in only in the sense that there were shortages of some of these other products during the war years, and also because in the contracts themselves, there were price escalation clauses which would have permitted the oil companies to seek additional cost to the basic price of Avgas in circumstances where unexpected changes to their normal refinery operations would have increased their cost. So the government did have an interest in that, but it's not an interest that was reflected in what the government would pay for through the taxes clause, which was very, very specific.
As I understand the government's argument, it's about how if there had not been any Avgas contracts, all of these oil companies would have made all these non-Avgas petroleum products anyway. And those non-Avgas petroleum products result in acid sludge. And so therefore, why should the government have to pay for the cost of cleaning up that acid sludge? Is that the gist of it?
Yeah, in a nutshell. I mean, the facts, even the facts found by the Court of Federal Claims in this case, demonstrated that these oil companies had historically dumped waste.
But let me go a little farther. I understand claims court's reasoning to be, well, with these Avgas contracts, the oil companies were put under tremendous stress to produce maximum Avgas, maximum amounts of Avgas. And to do that, they had to dramatically increase their crude throughput in their refineries, which necessarily resulted in a lot more volume of the non-Avgas petroleum products also being produced, along with the Avgas products that were being produced. And it was that scale, that extra dimension of magnitude of acid sludge that was being produced by all these different products that needed to be refined to do maximum production of Avgas that was just too much for the oil companies at the time to handle through reprocessing, through transporting it away, so that they had ultimately no choice, due to the scale of the requirements put on it by the government, to then do nothing but to accept the dumping at the McColl site. So if all of that is true, and it's also true that 1 year after the war was over in 1946, that none of the oil companies were actually doing any more dumping because they were no longer under the government imposition of maximum production of avgas, why isn't that a fair thing for the claims court to conclude that but for the avgas contracts, we wouldn't have had this kind of dumping, or we wouldn't have had dumping at all at the McColl site?
Well, the facts that were also addressed demonstrated that there was dumping historically by these oil companies going back to the 1930s or earlier. That was their normal operation. It wasn't any different in terms of finding a pit in the ground and dumping. Also, the facts were found by the trial court that there had been dumping at this particular site, the McColl site, prior to any deliveries of avgas to the government under this contract, and that there had been dumping relating to the production of avgas that wasn't sold to the government through these contracts. So even looking at that, avgas production is partially resulting in increases in other products that increased other waste. There was no allocation made, no sense of trying to determine what those proportions were. We did propose in our post-trial brief in this case a method of potentially allocating these waste, meaning to determine...
Did you do it in the lead-up to the trial or to the actual trial itself?
Yes. The argument was made that waste could be allocated by, for example...
But didn't you just say in response to Judge Chen that in your post-trial brief you presented a method for allocation?
Yes, this was in the post-trial brief.
Well, was that same thing introduced at trial or offered at trial or pre-trial?
It's a theory that is based on the testimony of the government expert witness in the case.
I mean, did the government try to chop it up in the sense at trial where they tried to explain... even if you don't agree with the government that the government shouldn't have to clean up any of the sludge from the non-avgas products, there's still a way to do some more smaller refined form of apportionment.
It was
due to the inevitability of some amount of sludge that would have been dumped regardless of whether these avgas contracts had forced the oil companies to produce a dramatically more amount of products in general.
The argument was that you could allocate this by looking at what increased amount of acid sludge was created by the fact that the oil companies were beginning their production of the other refinery products with a lower quality spent alkylation acid instead of fresher acid. So the result of using the acid to treat the avgas involved certain substances in that spent alkylation acid, one of them called red oil, which when used again at a lower purity to treat the other products would increase slightly the amount of sludge that was produced.
So are you saying then that what the oil companies should have done with the spent alkylation acid is just to have dumped it rather than to have repurposed it in the production of the non-avgas products? Then if they had done that, then the government would have had to pick up the tab for that cleanup?
If they had, excuse me, Your Honor, I think I may be misstating your question, but I think you're saying that if the government is saying that the alkylation acid used in the production of the other products is not the government's responsibility, are we saying that they should have dumped the spent alkylation acid? Is that what you're...
Right, and then the government, you would say, would be responsible for that because it
yes.
was directly
yes.
Due to the production of avgas.
Yes. The government has never taken the position that if spent alkylation acid was directly dumped at McColl, that the government would be responsible for that in light of the interpretation of the taxes clause from this court. The government argued at trial that there was no dumping of spent alkylation.
The oil companies were wrong to have attempted to repurpose the spent alkylation acid for producing the non-avgas products.
They weren't wrong to do it. Our position is that whether they were right or wrong, the taxes clause does not make that waste stream one which is by reason of avgas delivered under the contracts, and that the interpretation of the contract has to stop with that. So if the spent alkylation acid is created and dumped, the government is on the hook. If the spent alkylation acid is reused while in the production of other products which these oil companies are selling on to consumers, then it's not.
Let me ask you this. Two things. One, following up on what you just said, what if the government is selling those other products, or the Shell is selling those other products to the government?
It wouldn't matter. If it was under the products that were delivered under that contract as defined in the taxes clause are the avgas that was purchased through those contracts.
So if the rest of that byproduct was used for military purposes, it would be irrelevant.
Right. In the same way that we recognize that there was other avgas that was being sold, at least in 1943, likely being sold to the government, just probably directly to the military services instead of to the DSC, that was not avgas that was sold under these contracts, and the waste that was created and dumped from that avgas.
Our time's short, so I want to follow up. I want to go back to your carefully worded statement that the theory regarding apportionment was presented at trial. Was the argument itself made? I think you're talking, when you say theory, you're talking about an expert witness, aren't you?
Right. In my mind, I'm thinking about the government's post-trial brief. This may have been the argument in the pre-trial briefs as well, but it certainly was presented to the court prior to the decision as a method of potentially allocating this in a manner different from what the court did, which was to simply say
sure,
that remediation.
But I'm interested in timing, and I want to know if it was presented. Of course, in a pretrial brief, that would be of interest to me. But if it was not presented until a post-trial brief, it leaves Shell up in the air. I assume they cross-briefed.
Well, there were reply briefs in response to the parties' post-trial briefs, and so my recollection is that there is a response to the government's argument from Shell prior to the court's ruling on the case.
Oh, but the response says this was never raised. I'm guessing.
I see I'm well into my red, Your Honor,
yeah.
And I save my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief Judge Prost, and may it please the court. When this case was last here, the court remanded with instructions that the trial court answer a single factual question. How much of the acid waste at the McCall site was there by reason of the production of avgas under the contracts at issue? That question obviously tracked directly from the relevant contractual language. And the first point I'd like to make, Your Honors, is that my friend Mr. White, with all due respect, is adding words to the contractual language. We're entitled to all charges that were incurred by reason of the production of avgas. He's asking you to add the words to the end of that sentence and not having any connection whatsoever with any non-avgas products. Well, that's not what the clause says.
Under the circumstances of the times, it's a logical non-entity because of what I said. That is that in the words of the people at the time, don't you know there's a war on? And everything Once the declaration of war was issued, and even before, but once the declaration of war was issued, the president had well-nigh dictatorial powers. And it wasn't just that one board. There was the War Production Board. There were all kinds of entities that had power to direct the production and use of war-related materials, and petroleum and all its byproducts were considered war munitions.
The most important war munition, it was often said, Your Honor. Absolutely correct. The record before the trial court was such that the government hasn't come close to showing that the court's finding that all of the ways that the McCall site was there by reason of the production of avgas. They haven't come close to showing that that's clearly erroneous. And there's really a couple of different ways I would suggest the court could look at this question.
Are you saying that there was zero dumping at the McCall site before the contracts were entered into?
That is correct, Your Honor. The contracts were entered in the first half of 1942. The site was opened, I believe, in the last week of June of 1942, and the first dumping was thereafter. Now, the government has made an argument, which I think Judge Wallach referenced in one of his questions to my friend, that there was a small amount of waste that was dumped at the site after it was opened and after the contracts that were entered that the government says was not generated as part of the manufacture of avgas under these contracts. Okay, it was avgas that was manufactured to fill out some remaining contracts that they'd had with different parts of the government, I think the armed forces, prior to entering this exclusive contract with DSC. And our submission on that, Judge Chen, is that the small portion of waste that was dumped before production began under these contracts, and then, by the way, it was only Shell of the four oil companies that had dumped that. The other three did not begin dumping until much later when production under these contracts was at issue. But we would say that that small amount of waste that was dumped that was the result of non-contractual avgas production is irrelevant for two different reasons. First, the court below found, and the government hasn't challenged this, I don't believe, that the oil companies opened the McCall site in anticipation of the enormous volume of acid waste that would be generated by avgas production under these contracts. The court's finding on that is at Joint Appendix 32.
Do you know why I'm interrupting your train of thought,
please.
But do you know why the specialized rail cars were not available?
Your Honor, I don't. Your Honor asked the question to my friend, we did quickly scour the stipulations, and as Your Honor noted, it's been agreed for 25 years in this case that the government controlled them, which was a known historical fact, and the government did not permit them to use the ones in existence during the early years. By the later years of the war, they'd ordered more manufactured, mm-hmm. but I don't know what they were using them for since. It may very well have been, especially in the early years, to ship avgas itself to the East Coast or Gulf ports for shipment to Europe. But the short answer is it's not in the record. But just to continue my answer to you, Judge Chen, because the oil companies opened the site in anticipation of all of the waste that would be generated by production under these contracts, it follows that the site would not have existed and this small amount of pre-contractual waste would not have been dumped at the site but for the production of avgas under the contracts.
How small is small? What was the actual amount?
Your Honor,
200 barrels or?
No, it was more than that. Your Honor, I don't remember the exact amount.
200,000 barrels?
I don't believe it was 200,000 barrels, but it was a relatively small percentage of the total.
What percentage?
0.5%? It's more than that.
2.5?
It's more than that. It's probably in the 15 to 20.
Scaring me.
Is as big as a bread basket.
But if Your Honor would like to quantify that in a way that goes to the bottom line, I would direct Your Honor to Joint Appendix page 47, where the trial court did do an analysis that attempted to quantify the amount of damages attributable to this pre-contractual non-contractual avgas, And the number that the court came up with was $723,578.26. So it's a very precise figure. Basically, the court calculated this by determining the amount of non-contractual acid waste dumped at the site in cubic yards, and then multiplying that by the cost of remediating each cubic yard of waste. And Judge Chen, if you're not convinced by my arguments for why this ought to be irrelevant, and I have a second one that I hadn't gotten to yet, and I'll come back to that. But if you're not convinced by both of my arguments and you feel that this must be taken into account, I would strongly urge the court, rather than remanding this case for yet another round of damage proceedings, inevitably followed by yet another, and I believe it would be the fourth appeal to this court, I would strongly urge you to, instead of remanding, simply modify the judgment in light of the court's finding, quantifying that number, and affirming the judgment as modified so that we can finally bring this case to an end. Now, I said it was irrelevant for two reasons. First being, they wouldn't have opened the site but for the massive amount of production under the contracts. There's a second reason. The Court of Federal Claims found that the relatively small portion, and I admittedly didn't have the number at the tip of my tongue, Judge Chen, did not affect the remediation costs incurred by the oil companies and was therefore irrelevant. Essentially, what the court found was that the remedy was what the environmental scientists call a containment remedy, where they built this structure that went down the sides and over the top. And because the waste was dumped evenly across the 12 sumps at this site, they would have had to build the same remedy regardless of whether this small additional amount of waste was there or not. And so that, to my mind, is a second reason why you can disregard this pre-contractual waste. I did want to return briefly to my friend's argument that the waste that was generated by the reuse of the spent alkylation acid in the manufacture of non-avgas products somehow should be disregarded here. I would suggest there are two ways to look at this. One is the way Judge Chen, I think you referenced in questioning my friend. In 1946, the court found that there was no waste whatsoever sent to McCall after they had stopped avgas production. And the evidence showed that the reason for that was that avgas production in multiple different ways, I think there were a total of five of them, and those are set out with references to the testimony on pages 28 and 29 of the red brief. But in all these different ways, the fact that you're producing avgas necessarily ramps up tremendously the amount of acid sludge that's produced. In fact, if you compare the throughput in 1946 when there's no avgas production with the throughput in 1944, for every 10,000 barrels of crude going through the refinery, in 1944 when they're making avgas, they're generating 68 barrels of acid sludge. In 1946, on a per barrel basis, every 10,000 barrels of throughput is only generating 20 barrels. So, by stopping avgas production, you reduce sludge production by 60%.
And you have the rail cars available.
And you have the rail cars. And that's, you know, an additional benefit. That's absolutely right, Judge Wallach. And here's the other critical point about this. It's not as though during the war that all of the acid waste that was being generated was being dumped. To the contrary. By reusing, recycling, and reprocessing to the extent plants were available, to the extent tank cars were available, the oil companies successfully reused, reprocessed, or recycled 72% of the waste they were generating. What's more, the court found that dumping was the last resort. They only dumped if they couldn't right. make any of these other solutions to the problem work. So if you think about it, all they had to do to end dumping is reduce the generation of acid waste by 28%.
If all of this is true, then why was there any dumping at all going on in the late 30s and very early 1940s? According to all your very interesting statistics, there would have been no dumping at that time either.
The answer to that question is threefold, Your Honor. Three different factors. Factor number one, in the early 1940s, 41, 42, 43, technology for addressing for minimizing the generation of waste took a leap forward. There were two key points in this. One was the development of catalytic crackers, and the second was the development of a process called hydrogeneration. I'm not saying it right, but it's in the record. Those two things together very much reduced the amount of waste being produced on a per barrel basis. Second factor, before the war, there were very few reprocessing plants for reprocessing spent alkylation acid or recycling acid sludge. As the war progressed, while it took some longer than it should have because of the necessary delays, because the government had other wartime priorities, those resources came online and began to reduce the problem by increasing reprocessing and recycling capacity. And the third point is the one Judge Wallach referenced. As the time went on, more and more tank cars became available. So the upshot is the Court of Federal Claims made a direct finding, and this is on, I believe, JA 47, that 1946 is the proper but-for year. The court specifically rejected the government's argument that, no, you ought to look at 1941 or the 1930s. And those three reasons, those changes in technology in the early 1940s, more than support that finding and defeat any argument that it was clearly erroneous to look to after the war as opposed to before the war for your comparison.
And government, you have to keep the historical context in mind. Government priorities changed. In the 1930s, you're talking about industrial policy related to economic recovery and what was cheap to do.
That's exactly
right. In the 1940s, recycling was the thing. Little kids gathered tin foil and so on. People kept their bacon grease.
All of that is absolutely correct. Second way to look at the problem, besides the but-for analysis, you could look at the process by which it was generated. And I think, Judge Chen, again, you had some questions about this that really went to this point. It's important to recognize that the government has admitted that every bit of waste at the site, all of it, had its origins in sulfuric acid that was used to make alkylate, which was a component of avgas. And it was only that some of it was reused that we've had this argument on the non-avgas products. But it's important to understand that when the parties entered these contracts, they fully understood that refineries are integrated entities and that the manufacture of avgas necessarily carried with it the manufacture of these non-avgas products. I would refer the court to the contract itself that specifically says, and this is Joint Appendix at 1475, that normal operation of the refinery will result in substantial quantities of motor fuel and other products that must necessarily be produced and sold in connection with the production of 100 octane gas.
Isn't it in effect something like a columnar's still?
Yes, that's exactly right, Your Honor. What Judge Wallach is talking about is when the crude first enters, they have this still that breaks the crude into fractions. Fully 79% of the fractions are not usable when you make avgas. Only the best 21% of fractions can be used for avgas. But you still got this other, all these other fractions that you have to do something with, and the only thing you can do with it is to manufacture these other points.
And the key word is have. You have to.
You must. You have to.
And during the war, you have to.
That's exactly right. And with the court's indulgence, if I could make one last point. Any doubt on this is shown by the party's course of performance. That acid that was first used in the making of alkylate and then reused in the non-avgas products, 100% of that acid cost on the front end was charged to avgas, even though the government knew full well that that acid would be reused in non-avgas products. Everyone understood that the acid was something that was driven by the production of avgas.
There was testimony in the record, as I recall, from an administrator who said, if you hadn't done that, I would have just taken the plant away.
Your Honor, that's exactly right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Few points, Your Honors.
The idea that the government is responsible under the taxes clause for waste that had nothing to do with the waste stream from the construction, from the production of Avgas, because McCall was opened in anticipation of the Avgas contracts. Again, this is contract law. The taxes clause cannot be interpreted in a manner that expands this to include not only these products that are not Avgas and the waste from those products, but also the waste that was created and dumped at a time when, it's true, it was after the contracts were signed, or at least after the first contracts were signed, but before any of the Avgas was actually delivered to the government under these contracts when they were dumping other products.
You'd agree that all of those contracts are subject to force majeure.
The force majeure clause is in these contracts.
And in wartime, the government's powers were quintessentially force majeure.
Well, but still, there's a very precise requirement in this clause. And although,
but you recall, I'm sure, the testimony, I think it was written interview of an administrator who said, if they hadn't done what I said, I would have just taken the plant away.
But that doesn't create a basis, Your Honor, for basically saddling the taxpayers with all of the waste that was created during the wartime that related in a small percentage to the production of Avgas, and in a large percentage to the acid sludge that was created through the other products. This is the result of the Court of Federal Claims decision is that the government was in for a little, so it owes everything. And that's what we contend is inconsistent with the plain language of the clause. A lot of these facts are really not that relevant. What was relevant here was the interpretation. Again, when we were here the last time, in 2013, the interpretation was, can the taxes clause itself extend beyond taxes to CERCLA remediation costs? And this court said it could. Now the question is, and this is fundamental to this case, is can the taxes clause reach the waste of CERCLA remediation costs that wasn't created as a direct result of the production of that Avgas? There's a historical context, we agree. There's also the fact that there was a waste stream which by its very nature was going to result to a certain extent in the waste product of Avgas production being used to produce other products. But none of that changes what we believe is the proper interpretation of the contract.
I'm just curious, how much money's on the line?
Well, this was
a
$100
million.
Cleanup
of the acid sludge from the non-Avgas products in the McCall site.
From the non-Avgas products?
Yeah.
Well, it would have been a very high percentage because the amount of spent alkylation acid was roughly a very small percentage. It would have been under 15%. In fact, the government was arguing at one point that there was no spent alkylation acid dumped, but the court made a finding that a certain amount of spent alkylation acid and acid sludge was present at McCall. And we're not going to argue with those facts, but the percentage was very small. Even in this court's prior decision, it recognizes that 82% of the waste that was dumped related to the acid sludge from the non-Avgas products. So largely, the government's being asked to take on 80% more, or 80% in addition to the amount which would have been reasonably allocated to the government's Avgas contracts.
Final point. Time's up.
Well, one last point, Your Honor. the argument that 1946, if the court was going to look at a but-for year, and the Court of Federal Claims mentioned that and used it, but then ignored it in favor of saying that it was a single remediation solution by EPA, so it didn't matter. The government was responsible for everything. But if the court was looking at this with an eye towards allocation, we disagree with the idea that 1946, after the war, is the appropriate but-for year for a lot of reasons, including the fact that these oil companies were really in a totally different world and with new facilities, and everything was different by 1946, and we should be more concerned with what they would have done in the war years in the absence of their upgraded facilities that the government paid for through the war.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.